Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, you'll find verse 27 here in just a moment, but right now just Genesis chapter 1, we'll get to verse 27 in just a little bit. you know, Superman was a real hero. Of course, he doesn't actually exist, but as a comic book character, I mean, he had great strength, he had the ability to fly, he had X-ray vision, and these set him apart from mere normal mortal men. I mean, real men have limited strength. Real men stumble and fall. We cannot leap over a tall building in a single bound. We can't leap over a short building with a running start. But that's not to say that we should be content to be less than all that God intends for us to be as men. God has high ideals for us, and we will need God's help for us to attain the ideals he has. Now, to complicate things, there's many different ideas of what a man should look like and how a man should act in our world. God's pattern for men has been lost in today's culture, and it's evident in several areas of our society. Anything from male chauvinism to extreme feminism, homosexuality, all the damage done by pornography, debates over male and female roles in churches, with so much confusion about how a man should act and what a man should be, we need to find answers that we can trust. We need to find answers that we can trust to build our lives on. Now, have you noticed that on practically every sitcom, almost every commercial, the guy or the husband or the boyfriend is portrayed as the babbling fool or idiot? That's not by accident. Now, that is not the way God sees us as men. It's not the way that he wants us as men to behave. Now, while many ideas are really expressions of culture, they're expressions of tradition, what we need are some timelessly limitless principles from really the one who made man in the first place. Okay, it's who made us that can best tell us what should be expected of us. The world has changed a lot, but the basic issues are the same for us. Today, we're going to look at God's plan for men as what the scriptures say. What does the scriptures reveal about us? And there's three, we're only going to look at three this morning, three aspects of God's design for what he expects from men. First of all is masculine distinction. Secondly is servant leadership. And the third is strength of character. That's the three points of the message. Masculine distinction, servant leadership, strength of character. Now, how many of you don't raise your hands, but you'd admit to remember some time ago, this, I'm not really sure what to call him. He showed up on Saturday mornings, Pee Wee Herman. You remember him? Yeah, you may not want to admit you know who he is. I don't know. But it's hard to call that masculine, you know. But then you have the other extreme, like Rambo, the one-man war machine. It's really hard to, you know, call that an idea of masculinity either. Or then you've got John Wayne or you know, my personal favorite, Chuck Norris. You know, when Chuck Norris jumps into a swimming pool, he doesn't get wet. The pool gets Chuck Norris'd, okay? You know, that's just the way it works, right? Are those really what God had in mind when he says, I want men to be men? Well, let's look first at number one, masculine distinction and what it means. Now, it's not the ability to bench press your own weight. It's not grease under your fingernails. It's not scars from a fight. It's not that deep voice that cusses a lot. It's not treating women and children like slaves. It's not loud, opinionated, bigoted ideas. It's not viewing women as sex objects. It's not fanatical following of sports. It's not the refusal to cry. We need to get past this. I don't know if you younger guys won't remember Archie Bunker, but my dad loved watching that guy, All in the Family, years ago. We need to get past that kind of attitude and other influences of the world to see what God's master plan, what God's master design is for men. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, look at what it says. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Then it says, "Male and female created he them." All right, the idea that there is a male and female, masculine and feminine, comes from the infinitely wise mind of God himself. These are roles that have been God-ordained from the moment of creation of the human race. And some of our masculine distinction, guys, can only be evidenced when seen in our relation to women, particularly how husbands treat their wives. God has distinctively created us with different roles. Now, our present-day culture, and really culture in this city, is trying to keep those issues, keep those roles confused. Now, there are many stars who try to convey an kind of an androgynous image of sexuality. That is, they try to not really male, not really female, kind of somewhere in between, with their dress, their actions, their costumes, that old Boy George kind of thing. That's a sin, you know. Some time ago, an American Idol contestant named Adam Lambert would doll himself up with makeup and jewelry. So at first glance, it was really kind of hard to tell exactly what that guy was. Well, that's sin. That goes against God's clearly defined plan. See, people ought to be able to look at us and tell right away who or what at least we are. Now, for guys, it's easy. You know, grow a beard. You know? Unless you're married and your wife doesn't like beards, doesn't like all that red, irritation that she gets when we snuggle up to her. You know, maybe you can't grow a beard. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you shouldn't grow a beard. Maybe you work someplace where you can't have one. Whatever the case is, God made men and women distinctively different, and we shouldn't listen to anyone who is confused about that or wants to make that issue confusing. Men are acting like women, and homosexuals are fighting for acceptance, promoting man with man and woman with woman relationships that are nothing more than vulgar sin. They're an abomination before the Lord. Leviticus 20, verse 13 tells us that. Romans chapter 1 and 2 tell us that. And we can love people who are not right with God, and we had better love people who are not right with God. But we must also stand up against sin and despise that sin for what it is, an affront to a holy God. Unconditional love does not mean unconditional acceptance. They are not the same. Another twisted concept of masculinity is the whole Playboy image, the men who are bent on their sexual conquest. They have no more self-control than a dog roaming the neighborhood. And what God expects of men does not include fooling around, the promiscuity. It does not include the unbridled expression of their lusts. These activities make a male less than a man in God's eyes. An impure, immoral thought life is like kryptonite to Superman. It levels us and it makes us powerless. When we lack self-control, we are not, biblically speaking, men. Now, why is a masculine role taking such a beating? Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I want you to find that. There's a couple of verses we'll read from here. Why has it taken such a beating? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 kind of describes the results of that rebellion. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The biblical idea of masculinity has taken such a beating because as a culture, as a country, as a people away from God, we've stepped away from what God says a man should be. You know, God's idea of masculinity is the only idea of masculinity that's important. But God's idea of masculinity doesn't necessarily include being married. A single life is an acceptable option, even preferred by some people. I mean, Jesus or the Apostle Paul are two examples of single men in the will of God. And when you think about it, what kind of models of masculinity are being presented to our young boys today, our sons, our grandsons? Is it really the idea that God portrays for us? See, we need to see God's model in us so that our children, our grandchildren will see God's model in us, because so very few men that are admired today really line up with what God says a man should be. I mean, do you really think the idiots in that wrestling ring are real men? I mean, it's professional wrestling is men dancing in their underwear. Is that really the idea of masculinity you want your sons to emulate? God expects, number one, a masculine distinction. Biblically oriented masculine distinction. Number two is servant leadership. Now, these terms seem to be contradictory, but the Bible uses them and approaches it very, very in a very compatible way. When the Bible speaks of leadership, it does not convey the idea of boss, whether it's in a marriage or a church or in society. Leadership is shouldering the weight of responsibility. Leadership is shouldering the weight of accountability before God. Being a servant leader means having a willingness to lower yourself, to humbly serve another person, to put the best interests of someone else above your own. It's not leaving your wife to handle something by yourself because you just decide you can't do it or you don't want to do it, or you blow it off and make her do it because you're too lazy. It's not staying up staying up in the bedroom while your wife deals with a family issue because you don't want to have to deal with things, so you leave it for her. It's stepping in, it's serving. Okay, servant leadership is first of all serving. It's serving your wife's needs, not being absent. See, Jesus is a perfect example of the attitudes of a servant and a leader combined. He has the power to force us to do everything he wanted done, but instead he puts up with rejection and disobedience, and he offers the example, but he doesn't force the fellowship. He's never forced anybody to follow him. Rather, he's earned the respect and obedience of men and women, and he says, if you love me, then you'll obey me. Now, how does this apply in different male roles? Well, as a single man, a single young man, you need to show people of all ages, of both sexes, that you care about other people more than you care about yourself. You model a life that is worth following, and women will be attracted to that because of your character and your stability. As a husband, servant leadership must be shown in both verbal and visible actions that express love for your wife, if you expect her to follow you. You see it in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 6, 1 Timothy 5. As a father, it's the man that is responsible for the training of the children. He's responsible for the providing of the family. So you don't just leave the kids to your wife, okay? You don't go out and play and leave your kids home with your wife and expect your wife to do everything that God has expected you to do as a husband and father. You're to be proactive in the raising of your kids. To run off and leave that to the wife, it either means you're lazy or you're a coward. But it's your responsibility to be involved in the raising of your children. Now, why is leadership in marriage and leadership in a church, why is that a male quality? It is not because men are superior beings. We just aren't by any means. Galatians 3:28 says that men and women are equal in Christ. But it is a matter of God-ordained function. Not man-ordained chauvinism, not man-ordained bigotry. See, we need to get it out of our heads that leadership means superiority. It absolutely does not. It means being a servant. I mean, after all, God the Father is the head of Christ, yet they are equal. Christ willingly submitted to his Father as a matter of God-ordained function and God-ordained choice. Leadership without a servant's heart produces an ugly creature who drives people without love and without appreciation. A man who tries to establish leadership without love for others is going to have trouble getting people to follow them, and he's going to forfeit whatever blessing the Lord had for him. See, servant leadership for men means that we put aside our pride. We put aside our ambition. We put aside our agenda. We humble ourselves for the good of our family or the good of those that we're over. See, God has given us the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. He's enabled us, first of all, to show that we are masculine in our distinction, but also he gives us the power to be servants in our leadership. And then thirdly, God expects men to be strong in character. Just as we have to exercise and eat right to develop, you know, physically muscles and strength, we need spiritual nourishment and spiritual exercise of wisdom and discernment in order to develop good Christian character. Now, what is character? Well, it's what you, it's who you really are. Not the cover-up that you allow everybody to see. You know, it's not that, you know, you're getting ready for church Sunday morning and you're yelling at the kids, you're mad at the wife, and you're loading stuff up, and you're arguing all the way to church. You walk in the door and you put on your church smile. Yeah, that's not what this is. Character is what guides your words and actions. Character is what you are. It's who you are when you think nobody's looking and you're sure you won't get caught. What you do then, what you think then, determines whether you have character or not. And see, godly character doesn't come overnight. It comes from a long obedience in the same direction. It's just like exercising. If I go to the gym tomorrow and I bench press a little bit, I'm not going to wake up Tuesday morning with, you know, big muscles. It's going to take months and months and months and years of that for me, anyways. A man of strong character has spiritual backbone, but that backbone had to grow strong. It's the ability to express and to live out the convictions of his heart. It's really the difference between being a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer just reflects the atmosphere. A thermostat sets the atmosphere. So, gentlemen, do you determine the atmosphere of your home, or do you just react to the things that are going on because you haven't taken the leadership, the servant leadership role you should have? You know, tolerance can be proper, But too often, tolerance is just a mark of, it's a mark of laziness. Saying that you're tolerant can just mean that you're too lazy to put up the fight. You're just too lazy to work at what needs to be done. See, it's okay to be intolerant sometimes because some things are just stupid and shouldn't be tolerated. You should not tolerate in your own life a lack of character. You should not tolerate in your own life a lack of integrity. Now, what produces character? Well, consistency in the right direction, the right priorities, having a teachable spirit, proper models from Scripture. But there's more, of course, to this. But and look, dads, granddads, we have an awesome responsibility to do all we can to be the model of masculine distinction, to be the model of servant leadership by our character. We have to follow God's example of what those things mean. There are some extremes that we have to guard against. And then there's some things that we actually have to work for, to try to get worked into our life, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to make sure that they're produced. Some things that you need to guard against is that whole lack of self-control, where your physical appetite controls your life. Whether it is sexual lust, or whether it's food, or whether it's enjoyment, or whether it's sports, if there's anything that controls you other than the Holy Spirit, you've got to guard against that. The whole macho man idea, the Mr. I bust heads, it's the muscles, meanness, and mastery of women kind of thing. No, you don't want to teach your boys that. You don't want to teach your grandkids that. But neither do you want to teach them to be a mama's boy. It's the adult male who has never cut the apron strings, who has never taken responsibility for themselves. Some people call it the Peter Pan syndrome, where the little boy just never grows up. You also need to guard against being what's called the tinkerer. This guy has a closer relationship with his hobbies, closer relationship with his projects, than he does with the people in his life. Spends more time in the garage or the workshop than he does his family. You also need to avoid what we can call the general. As a boss or a husband, a church leader, they bark orders and think that they know what's best for everybody all the time, and they think that because it's their idea, it has to be right, and why aren't they following my leadership? Why aren't they doing things the way I want them to do? After all, I thought of it. It's right? So why aren't you guys following me? These are extremes that have to be guarded against, and they are not biblical examples of what a man should be. And let me wrap it up by listing just a few character qualities that God the Holy Spirit is working to produce in you if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. They're from 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you want to look there, I'm not going to read the verses. I've just got the things out here. But they were given by Paul for the determination of leadership qualification. These are things that every man of God ought to be pursuing. First of all, there's blamelessness. It's a pattern of life that is consistent with what you say and what you believe and what you do. It's being above reproach. It's living in such a fashion where if somebody brought an accusation against you, the people that know you would say, no, there's no way. There's no way he would do that. Second one is husband of one wife. It's best translated one woman man. Not a womanizer, not a flirt, always playing with the fire of sexual lust, always walking the line, living on the edge with that kind of thing. Tell you what, if you can't at any moment have your wife or kids grab your phone out of your hand and look at everything you've ever looked at, then there's a problem. Your wife should have every one of your passwords, should have the freedom to look at anything, anytime you've ever done on the internet or anywhere else. Boy, it's quiet. See, men, you need that kind of not vulnerability, but accountability. That kind of openness shows a strength. I've not done anything wrong. I'm not afraid of getting caught because I haven't done anything to get caught. All that's wrapped up in the whole one woman man. And then being temperate. This is clear thinking. This is not emotionally driven. This is being under control, not always flying off the handle. Now, there are some reasons to fly off the handle. There are some reasons to react very quickly and very loudly, but those are rare. They should not be your number one default setting go-to. But there ought to be a clear thinking about you that is not driven by how you feel. The next one is being sober-minded. It's actually not given to wine, is what it says, but by our application, it's don't ever participate in anything that could cloud sound judgment or good reasoning. Don't allow anything to compromise your judgment and reasoning. Ever. And the fifth one is just not being violent, not being quarrelsome, not always always looking for a fault, picking people apart. The opposite of this is being gentle, being gracious, kind, considerate of others, thinking of other people first, whether it's your wife or your kids or the people you work with or your friends. It's esteeming them better than yourself. See, a man out of control, the man with a short fuse, Proverbs says that he's like a city without walls. And back then the walls were for the protection of the city. And if you've got the short fuse, if you're emotionally out of control, if you're emotionally responsive and just out of control like this, you're like a city with no protection. Which means at any moment, any circumstance could come and destroy you. God wants us to be meek. Moses was called the meekest man that ever lived. See, meekness is not being weak. Okay, meekness is power under control. That's being meek. It's having all that power and knowing exactly how to handle all that power. Because, gentlemen, we have a lot of power. We have the power, we have the ability, we have the potential to destroy our wife and kids. One harsh, sharp word can destroy them. Meekness is controlling that power. So men, what are you doing to develop your strong character? What are you doing to make sure that when you're completely alone, all by yourself, absolutely zero chance of getting caught, that in those moments, your behavior is biblically right and responsible? Because that's who you really are. And that is who you will pass down to your kids and your grandkids. What can you do today to be more like Christ and provide roles for your sons and your grandsons to follow? See, right now, now is the time. If our culture needed it, if our church needed it at any time at all, it's right now that we need to stand for being masculinely distinctive. We need to make sure that we are servant in our leadership, and we need to make sure that our character is strong, that it is impeccable. Now, these are absolutely beyond our ability. They're beyond our strength, and God knows that. He has made us dependent upon Him, so He empowers us to obey. By the Spirit of God living in us, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have God the Holy Spirit indwelling you. We've been working on the fruits of the Spirit that we'll pick up again next week. But he gives us the capacity, the ability, the potential to obey every command He has ever given us. So by our submission to the Holy Spirit, we can be masculinely distinctive and it be right and proper. We can be servant in our leadership. We can be both soft and strong at the same time. And we can have character that speaks of our walk with Christ. See, the rest depends on your willingness to obey the Lord as you grow in knowledge in Him from day to day. The closer you get to Him, the stronger of a man you'll become, gentlemen. Any information on this we get from the world will be wrong. We must take our information, our cues, so to speak, from what the Word of God says. Then we'll know the measure of our masculinity. Then we'll know if we are really servant leadership, servant leaders. And then we'll know if our character is strong or not. Stand with me, if you would, with your heads bowed and eyes closed. So, Father, we come to You this morning once again, a needy people. For we need You, Lord, to work in us that which we, well, even if we could do it ourselves, Lord, the fact that we're doing it would make it wrong. Lord, I pray for the men here, the young men, the older men. I pray, Father, that You would work in us that we have, that we are men after Your own heart. That we desire nothing more than what we desire to follow You. So, Lord, we are not up to the task. We are not men that can do this by ourselves. We need help. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit so work in us to make us the men that we ought to be, that honor You, that love our families, that fulfill our responsibilities, and find joy in our obedience. So help us, Lord, to be men that honor You. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, would you come ahead?